Welcome to the Science Signaling Podcast for July 3rd, 2012. I'm Annalisa VanHook, and today I'll be speaking with Christopher Garcia about the structure of a Wnt ligand bound to its receptor that his group has reported in Science magazine. The Wnt signaling pathway is critical for many events during embryonic development, for physiological and homeostatic processes in the adult, and it plays an important role in the development and progression of many types of cancer. And so understanding all the details of this signaling pathway has important implications for human health. Unlike many other signaling proteins, we haven't had a good idea of what the Wnt ligand looks like, how it folds in three dimensions, or how it physically interacts with its receptor, Frizzled. Christopher Garcia's group has now solved the crystal structure of a Wnt ligand in complex with Frizzled. Garcia spoke to me by telephone from the Stanford University School of Medicine in Palo Alto. Welcome, Dr. Garcia.
Thank you for having me.
People have been studying Wnt signaling for a long time and the Wnt ligand, but there hasn't been a structure for Wnt. What has taken so long for someone to solve the Wnt structure? What made this particular structure so problematic?
There was a collection of issues. I sort of watched this evolve from afar. When I came to Stanford 12 years ago, I was interested in Wnts, and I had assumed that it being such an obvious molecule that there would be structures forthcoming pretty quickly. And, you know, I kind of watched the field develop, and it was interesting because Roel Noosa, who is the co-discoverer of Wnts with Harold Varmus and others, he was trying to purify recombinant Wnts himself in his lab with an eye towards making enough material that one could think about structural studies. The main issue that why it's been so difficult is the one that Roel's lab figured out, which is that Wnts are lipidated. They have a fatty acid group connected to them, which really creates big problems for manipulating them biochemically. Essentially, you have to effectively treat them as membrane proteins. The other thing is that the Wnts are heavily cysteine-rich. In other words, they have a lot of disulfide bonds in them. And their structure is not easily predicted from looking at the sequence. So one strategy that structural biologists use to address difficult structural problems is to make a prediction about the overall fold of the molecule and then start chopping it up into what look to be domains and functional pieces that you could work with. And in Wnts, that's just never been clear. There have been some crude ideas that it, you know, had two domains, but beyond that, it wasn't clear how one could go in and slice it up into functional regions that could recapitulate activity. And so it's kind of the perfect storm. It's a molecule with a lipid group attached at an undefined place and an undefined number of lipid groups attached. It's a molecule with many disulfide bonds, which really presents a big folding problem because as the protein folds, the disulfides have to be snapped together in exactly the right register. And then lastly, it's a molecule that eluded structural prediction. So, you know, that's kind of the most difficult type of structural problem to get involved in, and that's why it took so long.
How were you able to overcome these technical challenges? How were you able to generate crystals of Wnt so that you could do the structural studies?
Well, yeah, that was a really big challenge, and it's one of these things when we started out, my postdoc, Claudia Janda, really had a lot of fortitude in dealing with this unknown. Is this a molecule that could even be crystallized? We didn't know that. And, you know, the nature of what is Wnt, that was something that it took us a couple years, 3 years, to really even get a handle on how to make the molecule and how to purify it. And just to make a long story short, what we did was we tried to express every known Wnt, and there are about 20 of them, and we screened different organisms and different ways of expressing the Wnts, mammalian cells, insect cells, all kinds of different cell lines, and we did this kind of screen, and we came up with this one particular Wnt, which is Wnt 8 from the Xenopus, really seemed to be the champ. It expressed in much larger quantities than other Wnts, and it also seemed to behave better than the other Wnts from a protein chemistry standpoint. And so our first kind of metric was, which Wnt can we make the most of? And we landed on Xenopus Wnt 8. And then from there, actually, we kind of went a wandering path. We spent several years in the wilderness with Xenopus 1.8. Claudia in my lab was taking a traditional brute force biochemistry approach to try and make the complex of Xenopus 1.8 with a frizzled extracellular domain. And we did this for years with detergent because Winsor lipidated and Rolnusa had shown convincingly that Winsor required detergent to remain soluble in solution, just like membrane proteins do, and that to purify them you needed to include detergent. And that's something that we did and which one has to do. But what we found was we had a great deal of difficulty making stable complexes of Wnt with the CRD in the presence of detergent. And we had several examples in the lab of protein-protein complexes that both partner proteins were only happy when they were bound to each other. So we couldn't make them independently. And Claudia really thought, well, maybe this is the case for Wnt and Frizzled. So she did a kind of heroic experiment, which was the kind of thing I would have said no if she asked me. She produced the complex. She put the material over one of our very expensive chromatography columns in the absence of detergent. And lo and behold, the thing purified as a complex absolutely beautifully and stoichiometrically as a one-to-one complex. And the reason why I say that I would not have been happy had I known she was going to do that was my prediction would have been it would have just precipitated and gunked up the column and I would have been out $3,000 for a new column. But Claudia did it, and you know, she took the philosophy that most great postdocs do, which is ask for forgiveness rather than permission. But anyway, it worked. And so all of a sudden, it reset the whole landscape. We thought, okay, this is very interesting now. To put that result together with some kind of random bits of information, which were sort of out there, Fernando Bazan, who's a colleague of mine, a very gifted bioinformatician who's predicted a lot of protein folds, he had done some very interesting predictive work on the frizzled extracellular domain. And Fernando had actually predicted that the frizzled extracellular domain might have a binding site for the lipid on Wnt, which was a pretty bold prediction because there are really very few protein-protein interactions or none receptor-ligand interactions in nature where a post-translationally added lipid group directly engages the receptor as part of the binding epitope. There are lipid-binding proteins, certainly, that bind to lipids. You know, one can name many, but there are no specific receptor-ligand interactions mediated by a post-translationally added lipid. So we thought back to that result, which was only a predictive result. There was no experimental data for this. And we thought, well, maybe the frizzled receptor is actually acting like the detergent. Maybe it's grabbing that lipid molecule and shielding it from solvent, and that's why the complex of Wnt with frizzled is now water-soluble in the absence of detergent. And that gave us our first clue that that lipid moiety on Wnt was directly engaging the frizzled CRD. We focused on crystallizing this new complex in the absence of detergent, and Claudia got crystals pretty quickly. And I won't get into the details of the crystallography, but that was, again, a very difficult thing because we could only get phases for the structure, low resolution around 3.7 angstroms. Our native data was to 3.2 angstroms. And Claudia and another very gifted postdoc in my lab, Christoph Thomas, extracted the phases and were able to solve the molecule.
So you got crystals of Wnt bound to frizzled, and you solved that structure by X-ray crystallography. What did that structure tell you? How do Wnt and frizzled interact?
In looking at the structure of Wnt, which was really astonishing when we first saw it, all these issues, which I've alluded to previously, became clear. The structure of Wnt was unlike anything that we'd ever seen before, which validated Nick Grishin's prediction that it was an unpredictable structure. And there were two fingers. To me, it looks like a hand where there's a thumb and an index finger. If you make a closed fist, but then extend your thumb and your index finger, that's what Wnt looks like. And that thumb and index finger then grasp the frizzled receptor like pinchers, as if you're grasping a grape in between your thumb and your index finger. And that's what it looks like.
Does that structure at all indicate how Wnt activates the receptor?
Well, that's not a straightforward question to answer, because what we've captured is the Wnt binding domain of frizzled bound to Wnt. But the Wnt binding domain is connected to a 7-transmembrane receptor, the remaining part of frizzled, that is certainly integral in the activation of signaling. So until we see the entire receptor structure, we can't really say whether this tells us how Wnt signals. Wnt can infer a lot from the structure, but what we need to really get at the signaling issue is the full length structure. And also, Wnt requires a co-receptor to signal called LRP5. And we also need to see LRP5 as part of a ternary complex with frizzled to really understand how the signaling occurs. What we've captured is the elemental unit of all Wnt action through canonical signaling, which is the Wnt frizzled binding domain complex.
You talked about the lipid modification of Wnt, that Wnts have a lipid group covalently attached to them. And it's been thought that that lipid group is important for their intracellular transport or their secretion or maybe their diffusion. But you said that it had been predicted that the lipid could interact with frizzled, and that the fact that you were able to isolate the protein complex in the absence of detergent suggests that that lipid group is being protected by its binding to frizzled, that that's sort of acting as the detergent.
Yes.
How does that lipid group interact with frizzled?
Well, frizzled, the domain has evolved a very deep hydrophobic groove that the lipid inserts into. And what it actually looks like is if you took a globular protein and hacked out a wedge in the middle of it and exposed the hydrophobic guts of the protein, now the lipid goes into that spot and essentially completes the protein.
So that's interesting to me in light of people thinking about what the lipid modification does for Wnt activity, and that there's evidence that suggests that that lipid modification is important for trafficking and secretion of Wnt.
Yes.
But maybe it's also important for the activity of Wnt and not just for
yes.
its trafficking.
Well, I think it's important for a number of reasons. It's important for the folding of Wnt intracellularly, for sure. I think the Wnt structure itself is a very complicated fold. It has approximately 15 disulfide bonds distributed throughout the structure, which is a very difficult thing for the cell to deal with, to fold that protein up correctly. And so I think that lipid group has evolved some sort of a chaperone interaction that would facilitate the correct folding of Wnt, because if you mutate the amino acid that the lipid is attached to, Wnt will not fold properly. I think the second mode that the lipid is important is that Wnt is a morphogen, and morphogens are growth factors that act within very short distance of their source. And so Wnts, when they get out of the cell, probably just stick on the membrane, and they don't go very far. And they use that lipid group to associate with the cell and not just diffuse around the circulation like a soluble protein would.
Interacting with the cell that secretes it would help it form a more steep and stable gradient.
Exactly, and act very locally. And I just want to mention parenthetically that Fernando Bazan and I have collaborated now to really analyze the structure of Wnt more deeply, and we found a rather astonishing finding, which is that we can actually find the evolutionary origins of the Wnt fold. And what it looks like is that Wnt is a fusion between a degenerate cytokine fold, which looks like the TGF-beta, PDGF type of proteins, and the other part of Wnt, which contains the lipid group, looks like it derived from a ancient lipid binding scaffold like sapocins. And sapocins are helical proteins whose functions have nothing to do with developmental biology. What they do is they carry lipids around and load them onto lipid-binding proteins. So sappicins interact with the membrane and extract lipids from the membrane and put them onto other proteins in completely unrelated functions. What it looks like Wnt has done is use that lipid-targeting domain of sappicins to acquire the post-translational lipid group and then fuse that domain with the degenerate cytokine fold that forms the other half of the Wnt.
Dr. Garcia, thank you for speaking with me.
Thank you very much for letting me speak.
That was Christopher Garcia, senior author of a paper that was published in Science Express on May 31st and will appear in the July 6th issue of Science. That paper by Janda and colleagues is titled Structural Basis of Wnt Recognition by Frizzled. And that wraps up this Science Signaling podcast. If you have any questions or suggestions, you can write to us at sciencesignalingeditors@aaas.org. This show is a production of Science Signaling and of AAAS, Advancing Science, Serving Society. I'm Annalisa Van Hook, and on behalf of Science Signaling and its publisher, the American Association for the Advancement of Science, thanks for listening.